Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why I think Nick Saban is about to make a huge mistake.
I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you what I think about Jimmy G calling his night out with an adult film star a learning experience. What did he learn?
Great teacher.
Speak for yourself starts now.
Great teacher. Takes a lot of experience. All right, hello and welcome. We're joined by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings and longtime NFL running back and Dancing with the Stars champion,
what?
Rashad Jennings.
How?
Let's start in the NFL, where the controversy over the national anthem is heating up again. And now the league's biggest owner, Jerry Jones, has jumped back into the fray at Cowboys camp today.
Our policy is that you stand at the anthem, toe on the line.
Does the president returning to this subject regularly make it more difficult for you and the union to come to some kind of agreement on the situation?
Yes, his interest in what we're doing is problematic from my chair, and I would say in general the owner's chair. Unprecedented if you really think about it. And like the very game itself, that's the way it is, and we'll deal with it. We feel strongly about how we deal with it, and we'll do so accordingly. But yes, I'd like, everybody would like for it to go away.
All right, Cowherd, you okay with what Jerry had to say and saying it today?
Well, Jerry found something he can't control. He can control all the billionaire owners, but he can't control this story. And the league can't control this story. And I think a lot of it's social media. You know, stories used to, you talked about it, you waited for the morning paper, and then you read the morning paper and the story went away. Stories have a tail now. They don't go away. And so Jerry's the most popular owner. Trump's a TV star and a president. And so the story's going to have a long tail. I told you this the other day. The story's not going to go away. I don't think it'll have the impact this year and the next year that it had initially when it was literally leading all our shows. Every show in America talked about it. Now, it's some cities it matters, some it doesn't. There's football. Aaron Rodgers is back. But political stories don't die.
Are you okay with what Jerry had to say?
He was asked a question. He gave an answer.
I'm not, and I'm a huge Jerry Jones supporter, generally speaking. The NFL has asked the ownership to stand down. Mike Brown, the Bengals owner, talked about this yesterday. I would have preferred for Jerry to say no comment. He has now ignited more conversation about this. And maybe he's done it out of frustration. Maybe he doesn't like where the negotiations are going between the NFLPA and the ownership, and maybe that's why he's talking. My preference for him would have been to say no comment. But again, like you said, it's Jerry Jones. He's powerful. He's popular. This is a central issue for him. His team is America's team and has been America's team and had that star on the side of its helmet for a long time. And in his state, the state of Texas, where his bread is buttered, this anthem, it's not even a controversy. There's only one side to this story in Texas with football fans.
Stand
at attention during the national anthem. So he's frustrated by this, and his frustration to me caused him to talk today when I think he would have been better served with a no comment.
I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it because of what you alluded to, it being America's team. He understands the importance and the history that they go out on that football field with every single week. And so towing the line, I think almost every team is, that's kind of their standard. Like when national anthem is being
please
sung,
stand.
Please stand, and we're gonna all be towing on the line. That's pretty much standard. But what Jerry Jones is doing is no different than what he did last year when he was the only owner who went out before the national anthem and knelt with his team visibly to make sure that we all saw that they were in unison and they were in agreement as a team and they were trying to get out in front of it. This is what Jerry Jones does. He wants to try to get out in front of it. It's America's team. They're going to respect the anthem. They're going to respect his wishes. This is America's team, but it is also Jerry Jones' team.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, obviously, this is something that's been controversial for a very long time. Its losses is melding to a degree of realizing what the knee even took place for. But getting to his comment specifically, I don't have an issue with it. I don't think it's going to hinder the negotiations, truth be told. What's going to be done is going to be done. And he's the owner of his team. If he decides he wants his players to stand, he wants his players out on the field, I mean, he's the owner. He has a right to at least initiate that conversation for a part of his negotiation.
You know, everybody's reacting. Think about the cities where it's been pro-player. Seattle, New York, San Francisco, Philadelphia. They vote Democrat. In Dallas, it's conservative. Stand for the anthem. Even these owners are playing to their base. Philadelphia votes Democrat. Seattle votes Democrat. San Francisco, New York. Those owners are pro-player. They're playing to the audience. In Dallas, you don't dare say that. So the owners are dealing with not only Trump, not only the anthem, but what is my fan base and my media? How do they react? And like Jerry, obviously in the state of Texas, has no question what they're going to do. It's the anthem. But Philadelphia's owner, Giants owner's like pro-player, Jets owner, we won't fine them.
I think the Jets owner, I think Jerry's position would be that football fans tend to lean a different direction than this protest. Football fans tend to be a bit more conservative.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter the geography. And the base of fans, and so where I think Jerry's mostly coming from is a bottom line perspective. He bought the team for $60 million. It's now worth $4 billion. And when he thinks about, how did I get from $60 million to $4 billion? And part of it was the alignment with patriotism and the selling of the NFL as a purely patriotic, uber-patriotic event. And this is off-brand.
But if he was the Niners owner, would he be as conservative? The media wouldn't treat him the same.
It would be more difficult if he were operating out of San Francisco. And again, I just don't think it's been a coincidence that Colin Kaepernick was playing in San Francisco, and that's where this started. He's in an environment. But I think
why aren't the owners aligned? They're not aligned because they're playing to their market. We don't have one singular policy. Every owner is different. And the owners are doing it based on how will it play in my market.
They are playing to their market, but they're also playing to their teams as well. And when you look at what Jerry Jones has done and what he said, he immediately takes all question out of the players' hands. When we think about this anthem protest that's not really an anthem protest, the Dallas Cowboys never come up. Why? Because Jerry Jones is out in front of it. He's completely eliminated it from being an issue. Understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. He's taking all the heat. He's a shield for the players. Colin, I think you make some good points, and I agree with you that it's in San Francisco. If you're the York family, you play to that environment. But what Jerry is saying is the ultimate trump card is, that's fine, you're in San Francisco. That's fine, you got to play to your base. But the NFL bottom line is attached to patriotism. And that's true.
That I agree with.
That's true in San Francisco. No, that's true in New York.
It's tied to patriotism. All right, a question. If all the players in the league, if somebody first initiated taking a knee, said, I'm going to take a knee because I don't like how our veterans are being treated after they've gone on to war to die for this country. Right. And fight for this country. When they come back, I don't appreciate how we treat them. And until we treat them the right way, I'm going to take a knee. Do you think America would be upset and say that's against patriotism?
Yes, I do. Because here's what they would say. They'd say, let's have this fight not during this NFL game.
The same thing.
Not before kickoff.
Yeah.
What they would argue is there's a better time to have that discussion than right before kickoff. You have all this momentum, like 50 years of momentum and tradition. Look, the players haven't been out there standing on the sidelines for the national anthem those whole 50 years, but this whole patriotism thing in the NFL, that has a 50-year, 60-year momentum started by Pete Rozelle and Ed Sable. And just to get, if the players understood their business and how they've been portrayed and presented to America and why they're so much more valuable now than they were 50 or 60 years ago, I think they would be operating differently.
Hey guys, Jason McIntyre here. Before the show moves along, I wanted to tell you that support for the Speak for Yourself podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that home plays a big role in your life and family. That's why they created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's convenient. Our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And in addition to getting a real mortgage approval in minutes, you can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you're getting the right solution for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/speak. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Belichick, who still can't avoid questions about the decision to bench Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl back in February. Longtime Boston Globe columnist Dan Shaughnessy pressing the issue at training camp today.
I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask about last year.
Yeah, and last year is last year. I'm not focused on last year.
What about the fact that everywhere we go, folks want to ask about Malcolm Butler? I mean, sports coaches, players, university. You're a sports fan.
Yeah, we've talked about that. That's multiple months ago.
Is there going to be any more explanation about why he didn't play?
Focused on training camp.
Would you do it any differently?
Training camp? Well, we're getting started. We're working on that right now. We'll do it the best we can.
And does it matter to you? Do you care that the fans want to know more about this?
I'm focused on doing the best that I can for the 2018 New England Patriots. That's my job. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I've always done in the past. You know, every day that I've coached here, I've done the best that I could for this football team, and I'll continue to do that. And right now, my focus is on the 2018 season, not 2017, not 2014, not 2007, not 2004, not 2001, not 2000. I'm not focused on any of those seasons. They're done.
And for this season's team, is it important for you to address the Malcolm Butler thing with your team?
It's important for me to have a good season in 2018. I'm going to do everything I can to do that. Do the best that I can for our football team. That's my job and that's my responsibility. That's what I'm going to try to do. Hopefully you can respect that, but maybe not.
All right, we'll have an issue with Belichick continuing to dodge questions about the benching of Malcolm Butler.
Issue, no, because I think Belichick's right on brand. I thought Dan Shaughnessy did an excellent job of questioning him, and particularly the last question where he's saying, no, Bill, you think this is an issue in the past. I think this is an issue that can affect the team in 2018. And I think Bill may be underestimating that there may be from 3 to 12 players left from that team that still want an explanation on Malcolm Butler and may hear Bill Belichick differently when he now preaches, everything is for the team. I would make no decision that would impede the team from winning. Winning's everything. So I thought Shaughnessy did a great job with the questions. I'm not surprised Bill Belichick dodged. He's on brand. He doesn't answer questions he doesn't like.
Well, to us, we think Belichick's smart, right? He's smart. Yeah. He's a good coach.
He's a good coach.
Okay, so he knows Gronk doesn't show up to camp, trains right next door, Brady doesn't show up to camp, Danny Amendola takes a shot at him. Belichick's aware of that. I have a problem if Belichick's never talked to Brady about it. Me, I don't care. I mean, I ask questions, you guys don't want to answer them, I don't care. I get that. But I do think you have to sit down with Tom and give him 5 minutes because I believe all religions need a face. Tom's the face of Belichick's religion. My way, do your job. That sells because Tom is the face. Tim Duncan was the face of Popovich. Popovich, get over yourself. Well, Tim Duncan's the best player. Mm-hmm. He's selling the religion. Duncan's gone. What's happened to the Spurs locker room? Brady's no longer absolutely devoted to Belichick. Amendola, Gronk take shots. Bill better address this. Every coach needs a star to sell his message. Bill's message isn't very good without Tom. Pay you less than the market. Cut you at any time. Players don't matter, system does. That works because Brady sells it to the players, and he's the best player in the league. You have Brian Hoyer selling that message, you're 4-12. I mean, to me, he better address it with Tom.
In my opinion.
I don't have an issue with him not addressing it publicly with the media. As a former player, I have a huge issue with it. And not just Tom Brady, because I truly believe even if he were to sit down and say, hey, Tom, come in my office, and he expresses what took place, it's not going to change Tom's approach now. It's too late. It's too late. You ruined something that we could have potentially done because of your ego or whatever you wanted to do. But I think moving forward, anytime you have something as a player that's conduct detrimental to the team, you can't move forward until the coach has that player address the team. You have to make the decision to address the team. And then we can move. Otherwise, everyone is going to be questioned for something you did. And that's what the New England Patriots players are going to have to deal with. They're going to be questioned because they don't have an answer for something that Bill Belichick did, and he has yet to give them an explanation. But if he were to give an explanation, it's done. The fact that he chooses not to, it will linger into this season. Regardless of how it impacts them, it'll linger into the season.
Totally agree.
I don't think it'll linger into the season. I think it just simply, when football kicks off, right now we're not playing football. So there's a lot of things we can sit back and speculate. When the football starts playing, this conversation won't happen. I think it'll be null and void. They go out there, they play football like they need to play, and nobody's going to bring up what happened last year. That's just my perspective on it. I do believe that a team should understand conduct, no doubt about it. And I believe that it's hard to say. I don't know if the players have sat down with the coach. I don't know who coach has talked to. I don't know if he said, let's keep this in-house. I don't know if he said, keep it off social media, because I've been in locker rooms where coach asked, listen, let's keep this in-house before.
That's an interesting perspective. So, Rashad, if you were on the Patriots, mm-hmm. and just for 1 year, and that was your chance to win the Super Bowl, and Malcolm Butler didn't play, you would just let it go if you were coming back the next year? Like, damn, we potentially lost the Super Bowl.
I'm going to ask him first, because he's my teammate. I'm going to ask him, like, wait, why ain't you playing? What happened? What's up? Talk to me, brother. What is he going to tell me? Is he going to be like, I don't know? Well, if he don't know, I'm going to say, hey, brother, let's go talk to coach. Let's figure this out. What's going on? That's how I'm going to address it.
And if you get no answer from Belichick, you just move on.
Then I have an issue.
That's our point.
Exactly. That's the point.
And that's what we're saying. All the players have done this, is what we're saying. Are we speculating?
Yeah, but no, they have. I mean,
Gronk didn't
publicly.
Go to camp,
I mean, everything. But here's the issue. If this were Tom Brady, and he was keeping his decision to do whatever that we didn't agree with, and we wondered why, and he was getting questioned, and he never said anything, I guarantee Bill Belichick would be, Tom, I need to know. I have to know. If no one else, I have to know. And so when you are held to that, I'm going to hold you to that. Bill Belichick, the rule of thumb, we are family.
Right.
So you express how you feel to me, and I express how I feel to you. I may not agree,
right.
But you got to at least keep that open line of communication.
Money is respect to athletes. Because, I mean, a lot of you guys, money's, I mean, you're not struggling with your mortgage. You're not struggling with your mortgage. Money's respect. Tom has never been the highest paid guy in the last 10 years. So he has given Bill Belichick, money's respect. Bill swallowed that for the team.
Brady has swallowed.
Brady has swallowed that for a decade. Kirk Cousins makes significantly more. Brady doesn't say a word. Swallow it for the team. You can't give me a reason. So the two-way street.
One ask.
I'm asking one question, Bill. Listen, man, I was slow on this. You were right on this. I wasn't. I try to put myself in a position. If I took a pay cut for a boss for a decade, and I was really good at my job, and then I just asked one question and I get an answer, I would become a free agent if I could do that in the NFL. Welcome back. Greg Jennings here, joined now by the founder of the Big League, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to Alabama, where there's been a lot of talk of quarterback controversy this year after Tua's heroic performance, freshman replacing Jalen Hurts in last year's national championship game. That kid is good. Former Nick Saban assistant turned antagonist Lane Kiffin sent recently. He thinks his old boss is going to play both guys in the opener. Saban himself said this week, why wouldn't we utilize both guys? Uh-oh, Whitlock. Right move?
It's the right move for Alabama football to hold on to both of these guys. Tua's not the biggest guy. Tua could get hurt. And so you have Jalen Hurts as a emergency backup situation. And so I think what Lane Kiffin is saying, and I think said kind of clearly, is you play them both in the first game, that no one transfers. Jalen Hurts doesn't transfer. Now you have them both locked in for the season. You go after your national title. You got two quarterbacks. I think it's a mistake because I think it's unfair to Jalen Hurts. To me, Tua is the better quarterback.
Yeah.
Tua is going to be the guy. Why hang on to Jalen to be a backup when he can go play someplace else?
Yeah, Tua feels like an NFL player to me. Jalen doesn't. I think it's okay because I think in college it works. In college football, regardless of your great quarterbacks, how many great quarterbacks has Urban Meyer had? You win. Nick Saban, this is his first great quarterback talent. You win. In the NFL, Belichick in Cleveland didn't have a great quarterback. Fired. I mean, Jason Garrett's winning 13 games. Romo gets hurt. Worst team in the league. In the NFL, college is a coach's league. College football is about the coach. He picks all the players, 25 new guys. We got Oklahoma wins national titles. NFL's not filled full of Oklahoma quarterbacks. You can win with marginal quarterback play, two quarterbacks in college. Oklahoma won a national title once, I think, revolving guys back and forth.
I don't have a problem with playing two quarterbacks. I just think it's unfair to Jalen Hurts.
Now that,
if he knows because he's going to be the backup, and I think he can go play someplace else.
Yeah.
This is totally not the right move by Nick Saban. This is selfish.
Yeah.
And for me, I look at it from a completely different vantage point. I'm a college recruit, and I go into someone's house, and I'm telling their parents and them as they sit there, we're going to put your son in the best position possible that he's the best position possible so he can be successful. Well, you're not doing that if you're keeping him just to make sure you have a safety net. No, let him go because we clearly know that Jalen Hurts is one-dimensional.
Yes.
There is restrictions with Alabama's offense when Jalen Hurts is under the helm.
True.
With Tua, all things are a go. We saw players get excited and make plays that we were like, where did this guy come from? Where did he?
Yeah.
It just, the offense was all access granted with Tua, and it was a completely different Alabama team. In my opinion, they're unbeatable if they play the way they play on defense and you open that offensive, like passing game and running game, they're unbeatable.
I'm going to defend Nick Saban here from this point of view. So Tua comes in as a true freshman, okay? Destroys the second half of the national championship game. They win it. How is a 20-year-old guy going to handle being the big man on campus this fall? Okay, he's going to be on the cover of every magazine. He is going to be, as you said, an NFL prospect. The NFL loves him. Everybody's excited about this guy. He threw 77 passes last year. You give someone too much too soon, and I just wonder if Nick Saban, he just is not fully sold on Tua just coming back to campus and, you know, being a quarterback. Is he a celebrity on campus now?
Jason,
I wonder how Nick Saban's going to
handle this. Where have you been living? This is the sports world. We give people praise too soon sometimes, and it works out sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't.
By the way, every position in football, every single position except quarterback, you understand. When you go to USC and play receiver, they're going to recruit four new receivers next year. That's understood. Quarterback, I got transfer. There's another guy here. Some of this is just cultural, is that the quarterback position, Nick has to treat it differently because quarterback's dads tend to be hovering over programs, and Nick's like, well, I got to have two good quarterbacks. I'm the number one program. A wide receiver, you could be more honest with and go, Greg, we don't think you're going to play. We're going to release you from your scholarship. I got four new guys coming in. If you let Jalen Hurts go, Tua runs around, pops an ankle, well, that's the program.
I get it, but Nick Saban does sometimes hold on and try to prevent. A lot of these coaches try to prevent guys from transferring.
They do.
Jason, I want to say to your point, which is a fair one, how's he going to handle success? Both of these kids, from my understanding, Jalen Hurts and Tua are both great kids.
Yes.
I've actually met Tua. It's over the top how good of a kid this guy is. If there's someone who I think could handle this, it's Tua. He's got a Tebow-esque humility and quality to him that I think he'll be perfectly fine in success. And that's I just think for Jalen Hurts, I want to go play at a Houston or Memphis. Take a step down and go play. That's a lot better. He's already won a national championship. He handled getting benched beautifully.
How old is he? Is he a junior?
I think he's a junior.
I mean, he's not an NFL prospect. He could still do that next year.
But he's on track to graduate in December. And if you want to be a student and you guys said he's not a future NFL player, why don't you just stay in Alabama, enjoy life on the Tide, maybe win another title.
By the way, he'll play in 10 of their games.
Yeah,
they'll be up at half 40.
He may have shown that he was appreciative and supportive, but he has pride about
it. He wants to start.
By the way, that wouldn't be the worst thing for his career, Jalen Hurts. People are like, replaced by a great player and was a good teammate. It's not the worst thing for
him. No, not at all. Our friend Rashad Jennings has written a New York Times best-selling book, The If in Life, How to Get Off Life's Sidelines and Become Your Best Self, sharing his inspiring story and experiences and encouraging readers to follow their dreams. The If in Life is available now wherever books are sold.
We don't get a free one?
All right, welcome back.
We got you. Don't worry.
Greg didn't write a book, but we like him anyway. Let's return to the NFL, where Jimmy Garoppolo made waves last week going on a very public date with an adult film star. Well, Jimmy G addressed the issue today, saying he realizes things have changed now that he's a franchise quarterback.
Life is different now. My life off the field, I've never really been big on, being very public with things, even social media. I'm not out there a ton, but, my life's looked at differently. I'm under a microscope, and it's like Kyle said, it is a good learning experience. Just have to take it in stride. I mean, it is what it is.
All right, Kyle Hurd, does this put the Jimmy G string controversy to bed?
It does. That's PR 101. That is, own it, apologize, I'm done with it. Everybody says, it's no big deal. Ask yourself this. We're all on our phone tonight, okay? And you push a wrong button.
I've done this.
And you put porn on your Twitter.
Oh, I have.
What'll the reaction be on the internet?
Oh, man.
It won't be like just a picture of your sister or your dog. Greg Jennings, look at it, porn. Oh, my God. Porn's different. It's not Meryl Streep, okay? Like, everybody tells me, porn, it's just the adult film. Franchise quarterback, porn star. I'm sorry, they don't work. That's like tuna fish, ice cream. Oh, I like tuna fish and ice cream. I don't like them together.
I do like sushi and ice cream.
I've had them together. listen, I don't think this puts it to bed, though.
Really?
Yeah, no, I really don't. I think he handled it well. He did what he was supposed to do. But the only thing that's going to put it to bed is great play.
Yeah.
That's how you put a situation to bed in his situation. If he does not play well, he has exposed something about himself that will be used against him. He's got a freaky side, a real freaky side. And it's going to be like, is he distracted? Does he have some kind of addiction issue? Is he Tiger Woods? If he doesn't play well, all these questions are going to be asked.
Oh.
Hey, man, y'all got me rolling over here. Listen, I think, one, what's the issue? The issue is the fact that he went out with a porn star.
And he's a franchise
quarterback. He's a franchise quarterback.
He's the cornerstone of the organization, the face of the franchise.
Right, and that's the issue. The issue is just simply because he's the face of the franchise. So then, therefore, we monitor who you date.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
We monitor your behavior.
No.
Behavior.
Colin,
I think you used the wrong word,
Colin. Don't let him put you on the defensive. No one's monitoring what he's doing. He put it out there. He put it out there for the world to see. He went out in public with her in Los Angeles, in paparazzi headquarters, Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
We wasn't monitoring. We were all minding our own business, and he put his business out on the street.
That's fair. But, I mean, he did. I do agree with you, though. Anytime somebody's under the microscope, they're going to use what they can. So if he doesn't play well, they're going to be jokes all day. All right, but if he goes out there and play well, it's going to be washed under the rug. It's not going to be talked about anymore.
That's why I don't think this, it has nothing. Number one, let me say this. He did the right thing by saying it's a learning experience. I basically didn't know how big I become. Fair. But to say that this would be held, it's not over because it's held until we see him perform well. Mm-hmm. No, this has absolutely zero to do with how he performs. We've seen who Jimmy Garoppolo was in New England. We've seen who he was at the end of the season last year.
I don't want to stop you. I just want to pause you. So what you're saying is your home life has no impact on your professional life.
Mm. I'm not saying that. It definitely does. But it definitely does. Specifically when your home life is an actual home family life. But when you're single, and there's, you know this. You can speak to this.
Let me press pause, Greg. So you're telling me being married and in a settled family didn't improve your professional life? Because I hear a lot of married people say, man, when you get things settled at home, your career takes off.
I think that could be argued on both sides. It gave me stability and a foundation because I knew what I was going home to. But for those, I honestly think that sometimes guys who are single, they have much more to manage because they have so much going on and they want to get involved in everything. So for them to be able to manage that, my point is, he's been doing this. He ain't just started this.
We only got a little bit of information on him as a player.
Let me push back on this. This idea, I disagree with Rashad on this. If he wins, nobody will care. All right. So they're 6-1. And he goes out every Saturday with a different porn star. You don't think that's a national story?
No, come on, Kyle.
I don't think so?
Yeah, he can't do that.
Well, why can't he? I mean, it's just, you know, it's adult videos. We all watch him.
No.
I mean, I think
Kyle and I disagree with you, though. If he's 6-1, he can go out with whoever the hell he wants.
You don't think
he can go out with Eartha Kitt. Remember the movie Boomerang? He can go out with Eartha Kitt. If he's 6-1, he can do whatever the hell he wants.
You don't think there's any story.
It might be.
It'll be a story, but it'll be celebrated. It'll be like, oh man, maybe everybody should.
Yeah, if he lose, they might be like, hey man, what's up? You need to go on a date. It could be the very opposite.
They might be like, hey, let's get Cam Newton on this program.
How you gonna throw Cam?
Come on, man. To New York, Odell Beckham Jr. showed up at Giants training camp today, despite an earlier threat to hold out if he didn't get a massive new deal. Odell's outsized personality has often overshadowed his immense talents, but now a former Giant, Antro Roll, says OBJ has matured and can be one of the most dominant leaders the team has ever had. Whitlock, you agree?
No, I don't think that Odell Beckham Jr. under any circumstances could be a great leader.
Wow.
But we have one of his former teammates here, so I'm just going to shut up.
I mean, you say under any circumstance.
Wow. Great leader.
You think he has leadership qualities?
Absolutely, hands down. I mean, we all can agree to. Listen, so one, I've had the privilege of playing with this guy since he's entered into the NFL. I remember the first four games, he was injured. And I remember him coming up to me, saying, Rashad, teach me a couple things, how to take care of my body. We'll show him a couple warm-ups, introducing him to MAT, acupuncture, different things. I watched him then transform just and kill the game, turn into an overnight celebrity. I've watched him, his work ethic skyrocket, the way he eats, the way he trains, all the tangibles that makes him successful. I've also watched the camera fall in love with him as well. And I think a lot of times we don't want to bring up the conversation of how hard he works when the camera's not around. All right, he does. I'm attested to that. I see that. Everybody, if he talks, people are going to listen. His tangibles are there, no question, hands down. The question is, does he want to be a great leader? That should be the question, not is he capable.
Well, that's part of being a great leader.
He may not want to be.
Well, are we talking about tangibles to be, or are we talking about does he want to?
Do you think he wants to be a leader?
Yes.
Well, here's what's funny. Here's who are considered great leaders in New York, Eli and Jeter, and they weren't big personalities. Here is who is considered great talents in New York, A-Rod and OBJ. I think there's a big gap between talent and leadership. First of all, very few 20-year-olds are great leaders. I mean, we make the president be, what, 42? You can't run for president because we don't think you have it in you to lead a country. I think a locker room maybe has... When I covered the Tampa Bay Bucks, Tony Dungy, Sam Weish, we had about four guys. Hardy Nickerson. Do you remember Hardy Nickerson? Mm-hmm. Leader. Middle linebacker. Trent Dilfer. Leader. Most guys were just talented. It's very possible, and I don't blame, this is no shame in this. OBJ's a remarkable talent. But he didn't want to be a leader. I don't need all my guys to be leaders. I would like Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan to lead, but if a player doesn't want to lead at 26, I'm good. Don't be a distraction, but you don't have to be a leader.
Look, I think he's capable of being a leader, but it's not going to come the way we all typically see great leaders, vocally and leading by example. I think his leadership has to be in doing, because when you look at what he has done, a lot of receivers get labeled as divas, and sometimes unrightly so.
Yeah.
But when I look at Odell Beckham, the things that he has done on his team or to his team has not been leadership material, because he's hurt the team. I'm not talking about being upset with not getting the ball. That's passion. That's all. But the celebrating, the penalties, all those different things, that's hurting. Leaders don't do those types of things. So
Boat
I think.
Party.
But I think, no, I can't throw that in there, because that was on his own time. That was on his own time. It just so happened he didn't perform well after he did that. My point is, he has to lead now by example. Nothing you say really carries any weight, because I've seen too much. Now I have to see something different, and then the voice comes afterward.
Welcome back. Jason McIntyre is back, joined now by NBA champ Caron Butler. Let's move to the association, where Kawhi Leonard took some heat for his feud with the Spurs, with some claiming he was a diva for seeking outside medical treatment. But now Kawhi has found a defender in the guy traded to Toronto with him, Danny Green, who says he played with a groin tear last season that the Spurs staff failed to diagnose.
Throughout the season, we've monitored it. But we never went back to check on it again, because so many other injuries have happened. And, you know, I could have got a second opinion. So I see where Kawhi has come from when he's got his second opinion. Because a lot of times you'll get information from outside sources, and not saying that Spurs staff is not up to par, it's just that not everybody's a specialist in every area. So in the season, I had to get another MRI. You get your physicals, the exit physicals, and you know, I had a strain was still there, a little tear. So the second opinion could have helped, but they did a great job. They did everything they could, but I think it would have been nice to see a specialist just to see if there was another angle, another view, you know. So just because Kawhi went and got a second opinion, you can't knock him for that.
Oh, that's interesting. Green has since tried to say, taken out of context. I'm not sure how you could take that out of context. We talk for a minute. Whitlock, bad look for the Spurs?
I'm not ready to go bad look for the Spurs. I think this is a typical look for sports teams. And I think it's a typical look for the medical profession. Things get misdiagnosed. Things get overlooked. Mistakes are made. These people aren't perfect. I had this situation as a college football player where my right knee was misdiagnosed, torn ACL. Went and got a second opinion after the season from the Colts team doctor, diagnosed it within 2 or 3 minutes. No malicious intent, just mistakes happen.
15 years, kumbaya in San Antonio. Tim Duncan leaves. Aldridge, get me out of here. Kawhi, pushback. Danny Green, second opinion. 15 years, that medical staff never made a mistake. I got three guys since Duncan left. The Messiah in the locker room who preached the religion. He leaves. Greg Popovich lost his security guard. He lost his Messiah. And now I got Aldridge, Danny, Kawhi, all pushing back. That doesn't seem like a coincidence to me. I mean, it doesn't.
No, it really doesn't. And I always felt like the medical staff for an organization always have the best interests for the team.
Sure.
I repeat, the medical staff for an organization always have the best interest for the team. So, listen, the same injury that Kawhi had throughout the season, they was trying to rush him to get back. He got a second opinion. Look, you need to take your time. Now, if it was in the summer, that same medical staff, I feel in my heart, would have told him, look, you need to take the summer off. Heal, get your tempo right, get ready, and get ready for the upcoming season. That's just what happened. Like, the medical staff is fans, too. They want to see their team be a better version of themselves, and what better way to be your best without your best player and your superstar in Kawhi Leonard? They're fans.
It happens. This is a tough one. I mean, those are great points. I have a problem here blaming the Spurs, because let's look at it two ways. If Danny Green doesn't play like Kawhi didn't, he's soft and he's not tough and he's not a man. And he's not going to tough it out. But if he goes for that second opinion and he plays through it and gets hurt again like Isaiah Thomas did, well, he's a moron. Yeah, what an idiot. So it's just a tough spot for athletes because they got to look out for number one, right? You have to look out for yourself and your family. And like you said, the teams are looking out for their own because they want to win. They're fans. So reluctantly, I'm going to side with the Spurs here. Danny Green bent over backwards in this podcast to say, listen, it's not on the Spurs. It's not their fault. The media is taking it out of control.
Because he still wants to have a basketball shelf life. You know, you can't jump out there on the limb and say anything when you're in the trenches.
Especially when you're a marginal guy.
Yeah, you're a marginal guy at this point in his career. Not, you know, top 10 shooters out there from a percentage-wise or not the youngest guy out there, a little long in the tooth. So, you know, he has to do these things. Had to be a great locker room guy, has to say all the right things. He backtracked a couple of the statements, you know, said it exactly like he should have.
And then spun it into blaming the media, right? Which is the smart and the safe move.
It's always your
we're fault. Easy targets, right? Yeah, you come us, after the us. Media, yeah.
Look,
it does validate Kawhi a little.
I think so. Look, I think we've all reached a point where I think Karan's point is right in terms of the medical staff or fans too. But the organizations now have millions upon millions of dollars riding on wins and losses, success, and all that. And so I think we all should have reached a point where there's so much money involved, the athletes have no choice but to be cynical. That's about everything, about are you getting the best advice from the coaching staff, from the medical staff? There's so much money involved that you have to be a skeptic. And I don't blame anybody that goes out and seeks a second opinion. I think Danny Green, I don't know if he's so much protecting the Spurs as just being mature and saying, you know what, let's don't demonize the Spurs because the same thing could happen to me at any of these organizations.
Listen, I mean, if you're a player and you have your eyelids open, you got Seattle. We're never leaving Seattle. Hour later, they're in Oklahoma City. I mean, you have GMs, Dan Gilbert. LeBron chooses another city. Dan Gilbert writes, basically, you're a traitor. If I'm a player in this league, how am I not cynical? How do I not take care of myself? All I see is these owners taking care of owners. All I see is GMs taking care of GMs. By the way, guy gets fired 6 times, he'll get another job. All I see is coaches getting jobs, taking friends taking care of friends taking care of friends. Why can't an athlete take care of himself?
He can. The only thing I would just temper it with is just step into the other guy's shoes. Because a lot of these players are a significant number. They move into front office positions. They move into coaching positions. We're going to have guys like LeBron. It's already happened with Michael Jordan. They move into ownership positions. And they'll be making the exact same decisions as the current ownership, current coaches, current executives. They'll be doing the same things. And so I'm reluctant to demonize anybody. And look, I know some of these teams do cut corners and maybe don't have the best interest, but overall, they're just conducting business, and it's the same business the players may be in later and making the exact same decisions. Welcome back. Time for Last Call. Let's move to Los Angeles, where former Laker and current Clipper Lou Williams says that despite LeBron's decision to join the Lakers, the Clippers are still the best team in Los Angeles. Cowherd, is Williams crazy here to think the Clippers are better than the Lakers?
Who's their best player?
Tobias Harris.
Who's the Lakers' best player?
Rajon Rondo. Oh.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
LeBron James.
Yeah. I think the Lakers are... I think Clippers have depth. They don't have a star. And I'll take a star over depth.
Clippers may have an advantage in coaching. Clippers may have a...
Well, maybe.
They got less head cases.
Well.
They got less head cases. You never know. We'll see. All right, to Pittsburgh, where Antonio Brown made a big entrance today, showing up at the Steelers training camp in a helicopter. Cowherd, is this how you come to work? I mean, is this proof why receivers are divas?
No, because it's been proven 100 years ago. This is just the latest wide receiver to be over the top. You ever been in a helicopter?
I have.
They're great.
Hawaii. Reported to work in a helicopter, though.
You know what? That's a good entrance. How about you and I tomorrow come here in a helicopter?
I don't have
get
money
noticed.
To earn like
show who's boss around here.